I've seen dads just wake up. I start raising the furnace on the dads during this class. And all of a sudden, there's dads who start caring about their families. You can see their hearts leaning in as this thing is going on and realizing that God is actually going to hold them accountable for what happens in their family. And they wake up and they start leading their families. They fall in love with the Bible again in ways you never knew were possible.
Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. Okay, gang, I'm with Justin Wolfenberg again today. And Justin, before we get into it, why don't you just give us a little headline that there, I don't even care if people know what this is yet, but tell us that there is a Storyform Life intensive coming up in Cincinnati. What are those dates?
They're the first weekend in October, October 4th through the 6th.
Okay.
We'll be here in Cincinnati.
And you guys are willing to help people make all of their plans and get their transportation together and the whole thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Cincinnati host families that are willing to host you. And we can talk more about why that's so important to this whole experience.
Terrific. We'll get to details as we go. Justin, the last time that we saw you, you were talking about building resilience in your children, and you gave us a little bit of a teaser that you were going to be taking a, this sounds crazy, Forrest Gumpish, cross-country bike trip with two of your children. Now, that didn't really happen, did it?
Yeah, it did. We started early June, June 2nd. It was about, ended up being about 4,500 miles. We ended up going through all four seasons, snow, rain, heat, everything, hail, thunderstorms outside. We camped outside for about 2 months, almost exclusively. There was a handful of times we ended up indoors with people, which was also a neat experience. It just might be one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And I've done some pretty crazy things. But I would say it was harder than I expected and then richer than I expected. You know, those combinations go together. There's something that just can't be fabricated in a classroom, that you have to be on the edge. And when you're on the edge, there's real risk and real reward. And I had moments of loving that and then moments of thinking I was a crazy fool as we went up and down the pendulum of incredible things happening and then really hard things happening. But we averaged about 80 miles a day with about 6 or 7 days off. My kids got up. They asked me, one of the guys we met said, what did you most appreciate about your kids? And I said, for not once did I ever have to motivate my kids. They got up every morning. And I felt like, I told them at the end, it was like having a partner on the trip, not a child. And what a gift that was through that whole experience. Super meaningful, but super hard. What my kids saw and experienced, their mentality, what they can accomplish is just different because it was challenging and beautiful. What we saw of the human character was incredible. We met some of the most generous, wonderful people throughout our trip, received incredible hospitality. And so, again, me and my kids are just different. Like we, when you experience something, it changes you. When you learn about something, it has an opportunity to change you. But when you receive something, it changes you. My kids are just going to be generous and more hospitable throughout their lives because they were on the receiving end of so much. The people we met, if you ask anyone that was we met on the trip, you say, what was more, the most meaningful thing? And everyone will say the people they met and the stories we heard and the things we experienced from the people, even though we saw some of the most beautiful country, America, to offer, which was really cool and meaningful. So it turned out to be an adventure in every sense of the word.
If I can just riff on that, we were just reading Psalm 8 this morning, which says, what is man that you would be mindful of him, and yet you have set him a little bit lower than the Elohim? This is how important humans are, and it's just an interesting thing to say that you are seeing the beauty and variety of the United States of America. You're having the thrill of personal achievement, and yet you would come away and say the most precious thing that we encountered was God's creations of people, his image bearers. I think that's pretty cool. Were there any light bulbs that came on that you saw in your children, where you saw a change or you saw a graduation or a maturing that you thought, I didn't know she had that in her, or something like that?
Yeah, I knew my kids were like physically tough because we live in a certain way. So that really wasn't too surprising. I was really thankful for it. But there were some intangible things that happened. Like one of the guys we met on the trip, Mark, we ended up riding with him for almost a month, was a statesman. Like he could talk to anyone. He could elicit stories. He was a fantastic storyteller. He was a great questioner. He opened so many doors for people interactions. And my kids got to witness that. And Layla, my daughter Layla, can now tell a fantastic story. Like something intangible. Like she wasn't a, you know, a terrible storyteller.
Yeah. But
she can captivate people with the story she tells and knows how to ask questions and things like that. So that was super meaningful. And then for Henry, you know, he was 18 and he has more testosterone than wisdom. And so he had a pretty significant bike crash. And this is one of those things that's really hard as a parent, you know, when your son is 18, at some point you have to let him start making decisions, even if the consequences are high.
Yeah.
He was just, every hill we went down, he was going 40, almost 50 miles an hour down.
Oh my gosh.
And we were kind of like, hey, Henry, you know, that's pretty fast. You got to be careful. You know, he kept doing it. And eventually he went off a 30-foot cliff. And he could honestly should be in a wheelchair or dead or have multiple broken bones.
And he went over fast?
Oh, yeah, 40 miles an hour.
Oh, and my gosh.
None of us saw it. We didn't even know. We had to go back. It took him 10 minutes to, like, regain consciousness enough to call us because we didn't even know where he was because he was down a cliff. We just assumed he was ahead of us.
Oh, my gosh.
And he walked away with some scrapes and about 4 stitches, you know, by the grace of God. And so the hope is that exuberance of youth is matched with the wisdom.
Right.
And I think he learned a very important lesson in that deal. At least I'm really hoping he did.
Wow.
It was just an unbelievable experience of people in life and all of that.
And are you appreciating climate control and a soft bed?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we would, some nights we'd be sweating or freezing, you know, sleeping in parks.
Well, bless you for doing it, Justin. I just would tell everybody that the benefits that you found from this were due to you setting the time aside, you're putting the money aside, and making a priority to have a once-in-a-lifetime experience with your children. And I know that they'll never be the same for it. They'll remember this for the rest of their lives, and bless you for doing it. Okay, let's get to the reason that we're talking today. We sometimes want to give our people resources. We developed a resource just for small groups, and that is for men to talk real talk about their financial lives. And we call it Financial Transparency Study. And that is, let's talk about what we actually give. Let's just put it on the table. Let's talk about what we actually save. Let's talk about what we actually spend. And just have open conversations. We don't do a lot of judging about how much that is or what the numbers are. But being known real time by other men is a good thing. And we often don't talk real talk about finances. So I'm using that as an example to say we sometimes put an entire episode aside to just say we believe this is a helpful resource for you. We think this would be a tool in your home leadership. So I'm aware of the tool that we're going to be talking about today. And from my personal experience, I recommend it. And you're even much more familiar with it. So why don't you tell us, what is this tool, this kind of study, it just in concept? What is this thing, and how did it come to be what you guys call the story-formed life?
Yeah, the story-formed life, it's, if you think about building a house, when you build a house, you need to have the right foundation down first. And often we're kind of just spitfired theological concepts to us individually. Ideas are often fantastic ideas, even you mentioning financial stuff, so important in our walk with God. But what we often, at least I never, I was even working at a church, had read all the Christian books, been to all the seminars, but I'd never had a really good foundation laid. And by that, I mean telling the whole story of God from Genesis to Revelation, stepping back and looking at the story like you would a movie. We kind of approach it like a textbook in knowledge and pull individual pieces out, but we don't actually stop. Before we get to those individual pieces, we want to stop and see the whole story and lay that foundation down in a way that was meant to be written. And one of the real challenges we have in the West is we think about this as a rational, logical document, and it wasn't actually written in that way. It was actually written as a story. If I set my kids down and I say, in the beginning, all of my kids would be like, oh, Dad's telling a story. Like, you get ready for a story. And so part of this foundation laying tool we have helps people read the Bible in the way that it was actually written, from a big picture story. So it has so many benefits from that nature and that direction.
Okay. So you brought up some books to mind. So I'd like to recommend a couple to people on the same note, which is, you know, you go to church on Sunday morning and they teach three verses out of Ephesians 4. And you, as you say, you kind of take that away and go, okay, I'll try to fit that into my life. We've mentioned this before. I'd like to recommend, it is both a study and a book, and it's called The Israel Story, and it walks through a big picture survey of what is God doing, particularly through the people of Israel over time. Another book that you brought to mind is called The Big Picture, written by Tommy Nelson, and it does the same thing. What do we describe the arc of the story of the Bible? But what you guys have developed is a study that does the same thing, the story-formed life. And it's a series of conversations based on huge chunks of scripture. How historically has somebody engaged with the story-formed life study? And what has that been?
Yeah, so I would say we have a couple of different ways we're doing it. This way we're doing it is over a weekend. And I'll just tell a little bit of my own story. So when I did this, Henry, I think, was 3 years old, and we had just adopted Layla. So it was many, many years ago in my life. Shelly and I were married, and we were doing fine at this point. I was working at a church. Things were going okay. I was being a good dad, you know. And I took this class based on a recommendation from my boss. And halfway through this class, I said, oh, no, this is going to change my life. And I went home to Shelly and I said, Shelly, we have to do this together. I can't even translate what I'm experiencing. We need to do this together. And so then we went and did it together. And that really was the pivot point that changed my life and my thinking about so many things. And
so you're a Christian at this point.
Absolutely.
You believe the gospel. You believe the Bible is God's word. But the way that this thing is put forward to you, you go, I have never internalized my being a part of God's story that I'm seeing in this study.
Yes. The story of God implicates every aspect of your life, from your how you run your business and how you run your family. And I had a lot of good, I had boxes of like, you know, you need to go read a business book to learn about business, or you need to like, I never even thought about my family multi-generationally before. Like, I thought my job was just to be a good dad, be a servant leader in my home, and model Jesus well. Like, that is all great things to do, but it was such a narrow narrative. There was such a profound impact when I thought about the story generationally, when I thought about how business and God interact and the purpose of business. There was so much that changed in my life as a basis of that.
And it let me just reiterate to our people, we have a lot of listeners, people who we consider to be part of the Abraham's Wallet family, and they kind of nip at the edges and get an idea like, the way that I earn could serve my grandchildren. I understand that insurance might be a way that I protect what God has given me, for instance. And they have these little ahas, and they kind of look in at me and Mark particularly and think, these guys have a particular worldview. I don't know how to I don't know how to enter into their worldview, but I kind of appreciate some of the benefits on the side. And what a lot of our people long for is like, how do I get baptized into a different way of looking at the world? That's not, you know, the way I grew up was American Christian. And so to kind of like go, okay, I'm an American, and then I'm a Christian version of an American. And so that means I go to church and I try to be honest and I watch my mouth when I bang my thumb with a hammer. But what you're talking about is reinventing from the very beginning, as you said, foundations upon which I'm building the rest of my life. So that you see that the way I think of family, even the way I think of friendships, all change based on the story. So I just want to recommend, if our listeners' ears are perking up as you're talking, thinking, oh, there, you're telling me that there is a tool that might help reconfigure my mind and maybe me and my wife together in the way that we're thinking about all of life. Well, I'm interested. I would like that. So could you tell us, how does this study work? When you did this thing for a couple of weeks, you're like, I got to get Shelley involved. What were you doing? What was it that was so profound?
Yeah. Like I'll give, like, it's so crazy to think Jesus said a house divided will not stand. And that's two visions in your household. And most Christian families have two visions in their household that they negotiate on. I've been doing this. I've led this near 100 times. I can't tell you how many good Christian couples have two visions in their household and walk out of this experience with a vision based on the scripture, not based on their church background, but based on the scripture. And that unity propels a family to go forward. I like to think about this like retirement. You said a Christian American, and that I frame it the American Christian dream. So if you're a Christian or not Christian, your goal is to retire. And this the sin of retirement in the American dream sense is it's entirely about you living for yourself and your pleasure and moving away from responsibility. Your goal is to get all the weight off your shoulders and live for yourself in financial freedom. Where the biblical story is drastically different. You just name one biblical character who retired. They worked until the end. And the biblical story tells you about the more faithful you are, the more responsibility you're given. Those two stories are completely different. But if you're in the church, you don't get that typically, you know? And so it becomes a really powerful deal. So what we do and what I love about this class, it's entirely scripture. It's not my thoughts. It's not anyone else's thoughts. We read a section of scripture and we do it in a way that we say, man, if you've never read this before, let's get all of our baggage out of the way. What do you see come out of this thing? And we do it in the way what we call in a Hebraic mindset, where we're looking for themes and values and meaning, and it's discussion based. And that's what makes it so rich. If you just sit there and take notes, your amount of change is very low. If you are dialoguing, and you just see how Jesus went to church. There was always dialogue. And so this whole deal, you're in a group of anywhere from 8 to 14 people, and it's all dialogue based, where we go deeper and deeper on just the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. So it's very enjoyable, Mike. We have to cut it off. We could keep going, you know. And so that's sort of the format of it. And it's really powerful.
Well, another thing you bring to mind is that we talk about Midrash oftentimes on Abraham's Wallet. We've had a lot of people kind of go like, you guys act like this is like the highlight of your week to sit around in Midrash. How could I experience that? So here's one bit of bait for people to be involved in the intensive weekend, is that if you would like to be baptized into a Midrash experience where you get to do what Justin's describing, repeated dialogue deeply about scripture so that you become fluent in that language, this is a great way to do that. And to reinforce, my experience has been that there will be some modules of the Storyform life that you will kind of go, oh, the Lord has said this to me before. I understand this aspect. And there'll be other things where you go, I have never really applied this to my life. You'll be very challenged simply to put your life against scripture. So let me just ask you, Justin, how did the Storyform life come to be? Did you guys buy this off of a shelf?
No, there was a group of people in Fort Thomas, Kentucky, geez, probably about 20 years ago, led by Jeremy Pryor. And he realized he had this kind of house church thing happening. And he realized we don't all believe, we all say we're Christians, we're all doing this, but we don't actually believe the same story on different pieces. Like you were describing, we often have chunks of it or pieces we put up here and they're just kind of hodgepodged all over the place. And what that he found is like, if we all lay the same foundation, again, this doesn't tell you everything that's in the Bible. It just lays the foundation that then you can build upon and puts those pieces you're describing in the right order. And it teaches you how to read the Bible differently and unifies your family on a common vision. And so then you build upon all these other things, like the fantastic stuff, like for the people who are going through Abraham's wallet. With this foundation laid, you're going to go faster and better, right, move along this financial stuff you guys are doing. It's so valuable.
Yeah, I just have to throw in here that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, using the gift that God gave me, I did the work of an expert builder and I laid a foundation. That's what apostles do, by the way, according to the scriptures. He's laid a foundation. And then he said, and someone else is building on it, which is totally fine, but each of you must be careful how you build. So we can build our lives. This is the story of Matthew 7. You can build your life on sand. And everything that's above sand can look totally fine. It can have stained glass and a cross hanging on it. But if it's built on sand, that thing is not going to last. It's not going to be resilient for the purposes of God. You know, repentance doesn't stop when you're born again. Some people think you repent once. I'm repent that I was a sinner and now I'm done because I know the truth. But repentance is a theme that carries on throughout your Christian life. And so that being the case, you have to consistently be open to God reviewing you. This is one of the reasons that Psalm 19 says we love God's judgments. So if he has something to say about my life, I want him to say it. If he says, you know, you spend too much money on your own pleasure, you think nothing of the future, you don't put anything aside. You have to be open to going, you know what, Lord, I know that you say that in love to me. And so I receive it. The Lord might say, you don't even have the diligence to operate your life on a budget because you won't submit to anything. Oh, Lord, you don't say that because you hate me. You say that because you love me. You're telling me the truth about what I'm like. So I need to receive that. So the Storyform life is one way to like take the very foundations of your life and let the Lord review them and go, what are you telling the story for? What is the common thread of your life? So I just throw that in that Paul warns us again, 1 Corinthians 3, be careful how you build because we're all building something. We're all of our lives are all leading towards something. And certainly we have asked this question before, and I'll reiterate Justin's question. Is the story of your life building towards the great glory land of no responsibility and taking cruises four times a year because you're retired and you have a pile of money that now you just get to bathe in every day? Disgusting. That's so far from God's plan for your life that we should, if that even has any purchase in your brain at all, just repent of it right now and just say, it's not you, Lord. I don't want any part of it. Please erase this dream from my life and please start retelling your story through me. So this has historically been a 6-week study, Justin, is that right?
Actually, we've done it over 11 weeks traditionally. And so this is now going to be a weekend experience with a couple different things. So post-COVID, we're seeing a deeper dive for an in-depth experience that people are asking for and signing up for. This allows us to share this story like you're watching a movie. You don't watch a movie and pause it and come back a week later. You watch a movie from start to finish. So it really allows you to be immersed in that whole story. And one of the things we're most excited about over this weekend is the Cincinnati families have agreed to host us, host anybody who comes in from out of town and for free. And I'm really excited about that because when theology meets ideas and you get to experience something, that's when you really change. You've heard me talk about this on the on my bike trip deal and this here. Like when you go into someone's house and you just see like, oh, their kids aren't perfect, or oh, why did you do this? Or why I just thought you disciplined the kid this. The conversations that happen over a cup of coffee in the morning while you're having breakfast are as valuable as the class itself. And I think that's something, again, we've lost because we're so knowledge consuming. Like, yes. I love podcasts. Fine, great. But like, if you're not immersing yourself in something, you don't change. If I look back at my life, the times Shelley and I traveled and went somewhere, immersed ourselves in another story, were the richest times of change in our life. Mm-hmm. So we're designing this thing to be, you know, the biggest bang for your buck. You're getting to see real homes, real houses where this has been in play 5-10 years, the changes that are happening. It, for the amount we're charging and what you're getting, it's the best deal out there.
Can you tell us any more stories of life change that you've seen as a result of Storyform Life?
Yeah, I've seen tremendous life change. And one of my, this is not particular to SFLs, one of my callings is to wake up young fathers. The Malachi 4:5, turn the father's heart back to their children, the children will turn their hearts to their father, lest the land be struck with utter destruction. And so I've seen so many dads just sitting there where their wives are super Christian, taking notes, you know, and they're just there because their wife wants them to be. And I've seen dads just wake up. I start raising the furnace on the dads during this class. And all of a sudden, there's dads who start caring about their families. You can see their hearts leaning in as this thing is going on and realizing that God is actually going to hold them accountable for how it happens in their family. And they can't say, well, my wife didn't want to listen to me, whatever their excuse might be, or I was afraid. Those are not going to fly in the eye of God. And they wake up and they start leading their families. They fall in love with the Bible again. Like people, we don't know how to read the Bible because you think you need to know systematic theology. We give you the foundation to start falling in love with God again in ways you never knew were possible. We've seen a heart of family. We've seen children explode all over the city. Cincinnati families are having tons of children. It's unbelievable. And there's dads, like you mentioned this midrash, who are caring about God and ordering their business life. Some people are starting businesses and employing people and thinking about things generational. We're seeing people love on their parents in different ways and inviting their parents back into their family stories and working together generationally. And what I love about this thing is, you know, most studies come up and everyone consumes them and then go away. This has not lost its staying power. And it actually has, we've seen it have sustainable change over 20 years. I've been places and I've led it, and like 7 years later, I'll be somewhere. One time this happened where I had two dads come up that I hadn't seen in like 5 years and give me hugs and start crying because my life is so different because I took this study and it's staying with us. And things are different in my household, in my family, and the way I'm thinking about children and marriage and every aspect of our life. It literally can change people's lives.
Well, you're touching all around this, but I just want to ask it explicitly and see if anything else comes to mind for you. And so my specific question is, how does the Storyform Life, how does it help a family leader? So for a guy that goes, look, I've got a young family. I don't have a lot of time to be running around to all sorts of conferences. I really need to do the things that are going to help me lead my family towards the Lord. Give me a pitch, Justin, for how the Storyform Life would help that guy in the way that he leads his family.
One, you see the responsibility that you carry as a father. I think we have a bent, you know, according to the story of Adam, we have a bent to be passive and kind of just be a nice guy. And this whole, I mentioned earlier, the servant leadership thing that's running through the church is taking over. It's actually, it's a good concept and we should be doing it, but it's making us be passive males in our home. And so when a father senses and feels that responsibility he has in his home and how much that will change the dynamic in his home and his, with his children and his wife. I can speak from my own experience. Like I felt very nervous when Shelly and we were early married, and Shelly's like, I want to have kids. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm really scared about this. I don't know how to do this. I had a lot of fear. And then when I took Storyform Life, it awakened my heart for me being a father and not having that fear. I still have a lot to learn and still do. I've changed tremendously, but it woke up my sense of like, I want to be a father. This is going to be good. And here's a way to do it in a way that that fear, there's this underlying fear that we have around children, understandably, because it can go really bad. And it wakens up that heart we have. And like I mentioned, it allows you to engage in the scripture where you don't feel so inadequate. I've had so many dads and people come and be like, I'm not afraid of the Bible anymore. I've learned how to read this thing. It's not as hard as they make it sound. You don't need to know this Hebrew word. And, you know, we've set up these pastors that they feel is so much smarter than everyone else. And it kind of just takes the gumption out of the man. And it sets men up to say, I can fall in love with God. I can read this Bible. I can teach this Bible in my home. You know, again, we don't teach all of those concepts. This is just the foundational step that opens the door for hope again in your belief in God and family.
That's awesome. I was just talking to Travis Burghardt yesterday, a guy who's been through SFL. And we were just talking about that there are so many systems that are set up today in the Christian world, including church, good meaning churches, well-intentioned small groups, etc. And if you think of like a teepee, they have a bunch of family leaders that all lean together, and they kind of they can be places where you get Bible teaching, where you feel a sense of community, you're known, etc. But in the long term, they undermine the ability of a man to stand on his own in their own homes. And that's such an important thing that a father learns, that when it comes to responsibility before God, I am his ambassador under this roof, and nobody is higher than me on the God hierarchy in this home. I cannot defer to the pastor who seems smarter. I cannot defer to the charismatic leader that I come across a couple times a year. I'm the guy in this home. And there are so many things, I'll say again, that undermine that sense, that feeling that I have to do business with God. And I can do business with God, yes, in a quiet time, yes, in a midrash, yes, in a church building, receiving teaching, etc. But at the end of the day, I will answer to him for how this home is led. And so anything that buttresses that feeling, I think, is a good thing typically. And the things that undermine that feeling or help you allay that feeling of responsibility is a really dangerous thing. For so many listeners of Abraham's Wallet, and they're wondering, is there a mode, is there a tool that would help us change tracks into having this multi-generational kingdom-centric mindset? I encourage the Storyform Life as one of the tools, one of the best tools I know that can help you change tracks and help you just reconfigure the way that you're thinking about things. So I think that we've probably done a pretty fair job of teasing people the benefits of it. Could you tell us a couple of nuggets, just maybe one or two ideas that come forth in the study? Like, well, we're going to study this passage, and there's an idea in this passage that really hits people between the eyes, just to give people a taste of these are the kind of things that you're going to be dealing with.
If you think about Genesis, the story of Genesis, is the first book, if you're going to be introduced to God, like, where do you start? We typically start with the book of John. Like, read the Gospel of John. Like, what if you started with Genesis and you built the story of who you think God is or who God is? He's telling you who he is. One of the themes that comes so early on in Genesis is what we were talking about, is Adam being passive and just standing around while Eve was being tempted and he did nothing. Our church often just blames Eve. And then you have the curse on Eve that says you will desire to control your husband. Mm-hmm. You will desire his rule. So in our household, so foundationally, one of the most powerful things you can do in your marriage again, this comes from scripture, not my marriage book, right? We read it in the story, is you flip that dynamic where the woman is willing to step down and release some control, mm-hmm. and the man is willing to step up and lead. And when you do this study together and you both go, ooh, we've got to look at my bent. I've asked hundreds and hundreds of women, do you desire to control your husband? Without hesitating, they all nod. Because again, it says right in the scripture, God says you are going to want to do this. There's no shame in that. It just is. And every man, you know, it's like, we want to run to work when there's problems in our household. I'm out of here. And it compounded by the problem that men leave their homes now to work. Like, so if the man raises up his willing of everything you were saying, engaging, and the woman stands down and releases control, powerful things start happening in your family. Again, that's just one example of what can happen. And I could keep going and going and going.
I love it. That's great. Thank you. We've got people that they're salivating, hearing this stuff and thinking, you're already pointing up some weak places. If you could put a wrench on my relationship with my wife and us understanding our roles and struggling less with God's plan for our home, et cetera, I want in. So would you now just give us the flyer? Tell us what's on offer. How would it work if somebody were to come to the intensive in Cincinnati? How many people are going to be there? Where are you going to meet? How are meals going to work, et cetera?
Yeah, so you're going to arrive early Friday afternoon, and we'll get you a place to stay, like I mentioned, in the household, and all your meals will be taken care of. Even on Friday night, for people who know about this, you have the opportunity to attend a Shabbat meal with a family. It's a special meal Jesus did growing up, ushering in the Sabbath. It's an incredible experience to have. You don't have to do that. And then Saturday evening, we're going to gather with all the groups that are happening together down on under a pavilion and have a real sweet night of story sharing and praying and a bunch of cool things on Saturday evening. So you're going to meet people literally from all over the country. I think we even have someone from Canada coming. So right now we have the capacity to do four groups, and we're working on our second group. So we have enough space to take in about another, 14 couples or so.
Oh, cool. So are you telling me that there's going to be several households that are operating independently and they're going to come together at the end of the weekend?
Yeah, on Saturday night. They'll come together Saturday night. There'll be some more sessions Saturday morning. So you get to meet people from literally all over the country that are pursuing this to hear stories. It's going to be a real vibrant time.
So there's going to be four kind of locations. Who's leading those four locations?
So myself is doing one, Tim Schmoyer is doing one, Jeremy Pryor, who created this whole thing, is doing one, and Rhett Marber is doing one. So okay. We really picked the four most impactful teachers we have on this thing. You're getting a chance, again, to sit under people that you would pay a lot of money to sit under typically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tim Schmoyer, who's on the board of Abraham's Wallet, told me about the weekend that he invited people in for a weekend intensive, and he was sort of told, it's too much too fast. You're going to blow people's minds. And he said, well, it's better than kind of fighting Zoom calls over 11 weeks. And as you say, kind of the erosion of relationship and even thought patterns that can happen over an 11-week period. And the struggles of, are people checking their email while we're on Zoom, et cetera. He said, I'm going to get them in here. We're just going to go for it. We're going to see how it goes. And he said that the fruit was fantastic. And obviously you guys are open to going for it. Have y'all ever done anything like this before?
Yeah, I actually co-led that with Tim. We did.
Yeah, that's right.
It was amazing. And that really gave us some hope for doing this again in the future. We've done it twice now, once with that group and once before. And it is a relatively on the new side of the experiment side, but the fruit we've seen so far has said, yes, this is the way to go.
All right. So how do people sign up?
You just go to the SFL website. We can put a link in here and you sign up right on that website.
The website is storyformedlife.org. Storyformedlife. Again, the idea being our lives are formed more by story than by anything else. I thought that I was telling a story about my life through my life. And I realize, oh, wait, God is telling a story. The story is about him. And if I want to participate in his story, then there will have to be some changes made to me, that he has to modify me and my belief system and even my behaviors so that I can be part of his story. That's great, Justin. Story formed life. Tell me the date again and the cost.
October 4th through the 6th, the weekend, and it's $75 per person.
What a friggin' deal that is. That sounds awesome. So I personally would just love to see as many Abraham's Wallet listeners as possible come to this weekend. You will be changed. I guarantee you will be changed just by virtue of the conversations you'll be in, the homes you're staying in, and God's word that's just going to be a purifying fire to cleanse you of hopefully the fallen American story and replaced with God's story in your life. I don't often do this, but I just feel I would just want to pray for people real quick and just say, God, for everyone listening to this, and they feel the heaviness of your spirit right now saying, this is for you. This would be a great move for you. I ask that you give them a gumption that's both joyful and hopeful and fearful in going like, I don't want to miss what God has for us. I ask that they'd move things and just make this weekend happen for the sake of your kingdom and the sake of their generations. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. All right. I hope to see you all here. I hope to see you here in Cincinnati the weekend of October 4th, 5th, and 6th. If that's not possible for you, let's just throw out, you've already got something planned that weekend. Justin, how could people access the tool of Storyform Life in general if they can't make it to that weekend?
Yeah, so we're going to do this regularly in Cincinnati. This is going to be a once or twice a year rhythm where we bring a bunch of people in. But we are happy to come to you for a weekend. So if you can get 12 people in a room for a weekend committed, you know, really committed, we will come out to you. And all you basically have to do is fly the facilitator out there. We're really big on this class is free in a sense. We're not going to charge you for this class. We might charge you for the logistics of stuff, but the class itself is going to be free because this is part of the DNA of SFL. So we can come out to you to do it as well.
Great. Well, I'm happy to field any of those questions or requests if people think, could that work for us out here in Topeka? Great. You can email me, steve@abrahamswallet.com, but we'd love to see you in Cincinnati in October. Thank you for your time, Justin.
Amen. Thank you. See you guys soon.